particularly the testimonies and the singing was just outstanding. And that young lady who sang, boy, could she sing. Praise the Lord. I was so jealous that I can't sing, but I enjoyed it so very much. Of course, I want to have her voice. Would be good for me, but, you know. All right. Good to have Chris and Melissa back from New Jersey. And they had a very warm experience. We're very warm fellowship there. They were staying in the basement where they were a family there, and it was no air conditioned, and it was 95. That was on the outside. It was 105 on the inside, but now I don't know what it was. But we're glad you're back. We thank the Lord for you. Rejoice that you decided to come back here where it's cooler. And this may feel like a cold front to you. And then my grandson, by the way, pray for him. He just has one more week in quarantine. He's back in Ponape. And he hasn't seen the family for a couple years. And so, what, a year and a half, Marilyn? 2 years? Almost three. Lose track of time. Anyway, so he'll be free in another week. And he'll be glad to be home. And so, we thank the Lord for how God is answering prayer there. We're going to complete our study of the seven sayings our Lord Jesus uttered on Calvary's cross. And tonight I want to deal with number 6 and number 7 tonight. If you remember those that we've already done, the first 5 of them, the first one was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a word of pardon. He was willing to forgive them. Then we looked at the second one. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was a promise to the thief on the cross. Then if you remember the third one, woman, behold thy son, and behold thy mother, to John in chapter 19. Again, words concerning his mother. And then, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he was on the cross, he was quoting Psalm 22 in verse 1 there. And then last week we looked at I thirst, which is in John 19 as well. And that was a word, he was in tremendous pain as he uttered those words, I thirst. If you remember reading it, that's the second time they offering something to drink. The first time it was to deaden the pain, and he would not take it because he wanted to have the complete suffering on Calvary's cross for us. But now he drank that one, and of course, it would be tremendous pain on his lips and his mouth because it was vinegar, and it wasn't anything in it to numb it at all as he experienced that suffering. Now, I want you to take your Bibles back to John 19 again, and a lot of the sayings were in John's Gospel, but I come now to the sixth one, and it is one that is so precious, so wonderful, and I like to see things finished, don't you? I hate it when people in the ministry or serving in the church sometime will only do it just a certain way, then they quit. I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad Jesus Christ did not quit. He finished it. What a lesson for you and I to finish the race that God has set before us. And I'm thankful for what God is doing here. And as Brother Jesse pointed out last time, where the pulpit committee is getting very close to bringing this woman preacher in. Okay, good to laugh. I hope no one who is listening to this online would not take me serious when I make that statement there. All right, they do, we're in trouble. But we're praying soon be able to get a candidate for you, and the blessings of heaven will come down on this church. And I believe there's great things ahead for the church. I know many of you who are not members are waiting. I'm just being pretty blunt tonight. We're waiting to find out, I don't blame you. We're waiting to see if we get a pastor who he's going to be like. And I know most of you are praying he won't be old. He's not. He's about 77, 78. No. but praying that God will bring someone in here with fresh vitality and enthusiasm for the ministry. And so you can get rid of this old codger so he can move on in life. Amen? Now, folks, the less that you agree with me, the longer I speak, the meaner I get. So try to work with me tonight. So I'm just excited what God is doing here. I thank the Lord. The old devil's working, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I'm thankful for what God is doing. And I'm hoping when the new pastor, whoever he is, others will come back and get back in here and see this church go forward. I mean, people who may be waiting to who is going to be the pastor. But I am praying that that will take place. People will come back and get excited and will tell all the angels in these empty pews to get out of those pews because we're going to fill them up with people. Amen? All right. Again, John's Gospel, chapter 19. And if you'll look there with me here, I want you to notice here in verse 30. And so look with me there in verse 30. Now, we looked at some of the other sayings in that passage there in John chapter 19. And remember last time, look at verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might fulfill, he said, I thirst. That one we dealt with last week. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it up at hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, and here's the three words, but in the Greek it's only one word. It is finished. It is the Greek word tetelestai, tetelestai. It is a word which is used to mean it's absolutely perfect. Nothing needs to be added. In other words, Jesus did everything that was essential to complete what he completed. And he completed it at his death. At his death. All was completed. And it was completed after his resurrection as well. I mean, we have the only leader that lives. All the rest of them are still in the graves. But ours is alive. And everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled. Let me just illustrate a couple, one or two of those. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Turn over there to Zechariah there in chapter 19. And that's not correct. I did this last Sunday, didn't I? That's why we need a good preacher here. Keep things moving. Go to Exodus chapter 12. We'll go that one. Exodus chapter 12. Now, when they offered the Passover lamb, there were specific things about that lamb that could take place. Look at verse 46 of Exodus chapter 12. Why is that verse important to look at? Now, this was the lamb. This was the Passover lamb. In one house shall be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad or out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. Now, why is that important? Because they did not break. That was a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. And if you remember, the soldiers came along with kind of a mallet, and they would break the legs of the folks who were hanging on the cross. They did it with a thief on the one side. They did it with a thief on the other. And they're ready to break the legs of Jesus. But God prevented that because Jesus had already died. Why? Had to have not a bone of his body was broken. And they broke those legs so that they could not try to raise up their body to get breath so they could keep breathing. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he died in his timing. And we're going to see that in a moment. And so we see here, it means the scriptures were fulfilled up to his death and up after his death there at the resurrection. And think also, it not only meant here, the scriptures were fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled. Everything, all those minute details that you find in scripture concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It also means salvation is complete. Death was finished at Calvary's cross. That when Jesus rose from the grave, that is, that's the day, you're listening to me, that death died. That's the day that death died. I was at the service there for Brother Hewitt, and some of us were there. Thank you for going to that. But I thought it was a victorious service. Why? Because we're not mourning. Death has died. He lives. And we're thankful for that. So it means not only is the scriptures fulfilled, salvation is complete there. Also, a third thought is that Satan was conquered on the cross. There are three references in the Gospel of John, and go back to John's Gospel, and I want to look at these this evening for a few moments. And as we look at those three references, we realize that three things. Satan is dethroned. He lost his power. Satan is defeated, and Satan is doomed. Look at these with me tonight. Go over to John 12. Go to John 12. I want you to notice something here, John 12, and look there in verse 31 with me. And Jesus is speaking there, and he says in verse 31, but this is after, if you go back here, it's when a voice from heaven. There was a voice from heaven three times from the Father to the Son. Look at verse 28, before we get down to verse 3. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now there are three times a voice from heaven spoke to Jesus and about Jesus. One was at the Transfiguration. Before that was at his baptismal. This is the third time. Now, that voice from heaven was God speaking to him about his Son. Now, look here. Jesus answered and said in verse 30, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now, look at verse 31, and I highlight that verse. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And in the Greek, the idea is at Calvary, he is dethroned. He has lost his throne power. You know, folks, devil can't hurt me. Devil can't hurt you. Now, we know he's still the prince of the power of the air. We know he's the god of this world. But as far as a Christian concerned, he has lost his throne and his power and his might. He's been conquered in the Christian's life. I hope you. Now, I think this, if you allow him, he'll conquer you. Don't let him conquer you. The person who is in the world and who is not saved, he has no power to say no to the devil. But we can conquer him because he's been dethroned on Calvary when it comes to the believer. Now, notice the second reference. Look there in John 14. And look there in verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me. Now, what's that mean? It means he was defeated. You realize the devil has an awful lot of power and influence in the world today? Amen? I have to tell you right now, he is doing well in Washington, D.C. He's doing well. And I'm convinced that he has a hold of the lives of many of our leaders of our country today. But as far as you and I are concerned, he's been defeated and he has nothing in us because he has nothing in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ cannot be defeated, and we don't have to be defeated. By the way, I often pray for our leaders in Washington, because a lot of them, I believe, have turned themselves over to the devil. I believe there's a lot of demon possession like never before in Washington, D.C. I'm convinced of it. I mean, we're making decisions today in our country that we never thought I thought I'd never see the day. I have a message I preach and taught. I thought I'd never see the day. We're seeing it. We see the workings of Satan. But as far as the cursed Christian life, he's been dethroned and he's been defeated. That's for you and me. Thirdly, go there to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we're going to look there. And I want to begin here in verse 7 of chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, who's the Comforter? He's the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus Christ performed a lot of miracles. Amen. More miracles are performed through the Holy Spirit because the whole world has the influence of the Holy Spirit of God in the Christian's life. Are you seeing miracles in your life? I have. I've seen God do some wonderful things. Look here then. Now notice what it says here. Who would not come to you? But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove. Now the word reprove means to cross-examine. It's like a lawyer or a judge. Can I say this reverently? Jesus is a judge. Jesus is a lawyer. By the way, every time I sin, my lawyer stands before the Father, say his sins are under the blood. They're forgiven. I have one who represents me with truth and love for me. And when he come, he will cross-examine the world. He'll convict it of sin. Now, notice there, he's talking about the nature of sin. World of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, look at verse 9. Deals with sin. The nature of sin because they believe not on me. What is the greatest sin? What is the one sin? What is the one sin that's not forgiven? Huh? Well, I think there's one before that. That's it, rejecting Jesus Christ. I know what you're saying, and I have a message on that too. But that's really I won't deal with that one right now. But anyway, you reject Christ, you're on your way to hell. That's the greatest of all sins that you can commit, is to turn your back on him. So we see here, first of all, he deals here with the nature of sin. Then secondly, he deals with the need of righteousness. Now, listen, our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, not only that, verse 9 is a negative. Sin is a negative thing, right? Verse 10 is a positive thing. You not only have your sins forgiven, but you've been declared righteous. Been declared righteous. When you stand before God, you'll not answer for one of your sins. Whew. I'm happy about that. You will not answer for one of them because they're all under the blood of Jesus Christ and they're all forgiven. And then we find here the third one. So he deals with the nature of sin, the need of righteousness. You not only had your sins forgiven, but you have right. Then he deals with this prince here. Look at verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? He's Satan. So we looked at first, he was dethroned. Then he was defeated. Here he's doomed. He's doomed. Now that judgment has not been fully taken out. Could carry it out. You know, the devil knows his time is short. Boy, is he working overtime. He's working overtime because his time is short. But he's doomed. There is nothing that will ever, ever save him from what all he's done. And he's dethroned. So we have here the sixth saying here. It is a word here dealing with the salvation of our soul. Salvation, it means salvation. It means sanctification. It means Satan has been conquered. Now think with me also. Look there. I want to look now with the seventh saying. One final saying. I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. So when he said it was finished, now he had one more to go. One more to go. In Luke chapter 23. Turn there with me. And as you turn there to Luke 23. Now, Brother Hewitt, I never met him. But wonderful things were there said about him, and I believe him. But he could not decide when he'd die. Only Jesus Christ is the only human being. Now you say, what about suicide? I'm talking about one who wants to stay on this earth as long as he wants to. He cannot determine that. You can't determine. There's a time appointed to me to die, a time appointed to you, right? You're going to die someday. It's going to happen. I've been to many funerals. I perform many a funeral. I have no desire to be at mine. I'm not going to be there. You go. How, anybody here plan on being at your funeral? If you do, you're in trouble. A good friend of mine, you may know the evangelist Tom Farrell. Anybody know that name? Tom is about ready to die. He's only got a few months to live. He's a powerful, powerful evangelist. Had a brain tumor. Took it out. Back again. And they said, there's no hope for him. No human hope. And they had not a memorial service for him, but something very similar to it. He told somebody, he said, I'd rather attend this than I would my funeral. He said, I won't be here for that one. I don't want to be there either. And I look here, the seventh saying here in Luke 23, and I draw your attention to verse 46. And when this is the last of the seven sayings, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father. Now, I want you to note that. I'm going to tear that these words, look at them a little more individually here. But he says, Father, verse 46, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Now, it is interesting, he didn't say here, God. What was one of his saying? My what? God, you know, why hast thou forsaken me? No, here. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The fact of it is, the Father, he could not call him Father at that point. He only called him God because God was his judge. And he took on you all our sins. But here, the relationship is restored. He says, Father, I, in my prayer time, it's so good to say Father. He's my dad. I don't call him my daddy, but he's my father. Most of you know that my daddy left me when I was just a 2-year-old kid. I never really had a father, but you know I got one now. I've had him for 58 years. And he loves me, and he loves you. And if you have a father like Chris, you have a good one there. But you also have two. Praise God for both of them. I thank the Lord for them. I can't remember what else you told me to say good about your dad. But no, no, since he didn't do that. All right. Now, the word Father, let's tear this up a little bit here. Tear it down. Let's look at it quickly. Father, that's a word of association. Note the three of the seven sayings. The first saying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That was when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know that, that was words of astonishment. I mean, they beat him pretty bad. They nailed him to a cross. Folks, there is a tremendous truth for all of us to forgive people who hurt us. And if anybody's hurt you, it's like a drop in the ocean of water compared to what we have done to him, the Lord Jesus. He said, Father, that's words of astonishment. As he hung on that cross that day, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know they were. And no, I'll tell you something, when people hurt other people, a lot of times they really don't know what they're doing. What do I mean by that? They have no idea if they're hurting another brother or another sister. They don't understand that relationship we have. I've had more people down through the years hurt me, and I've just learned, love the Lord, Father, forgive them. You know why I say that? Because my Father forgave me the sins that I've committed. And I want to do the same and have the power to do that. The second one is found there. He said, for the first saying, Father, forgive them. Well, that's words of astonishment. Then the fourth one say, my God, why hast thou forsaken them? Those are words of abandonment. The Father abandoned the Son. God turned his back on God. I can't comprehend that one. Because he loved you and me. And then the final, Father, one we have here, Father, in this passage, Father, words of assurance. He can call him Father now. He can call him Father. Because the price has been paid, the sin has been paid for, and now he's back in fellowship with the Father. You know, I enjoy being in fellowship with people, don't you? I just don't like it the other way. How many of you ever have an argument with your wife? Get your hands up, fellas. Get them up. And I'm always thankful when things are made right. And I just don't want anything between us. And the older I get, because at our age, we don't have a whole bunch of years left for us. We're going to enjoy them together. Amen, huh? And I forgive you for being late today, getting us on the road. I wanted to say that publicly. You're forgiven. This is the funny part. I kept saying, honey, we got to go. I got a couple more things to put in the car. They got them in the car. I said, I got to go back in the house. I forgot something. I went back and I got what I got, came back to the car. She said, you ready? I said, no, I forgot one other thing. I know she's enjoying this. Immensely enjoying this. That's the kind of relationship we need to have instead of everybody blowing up at each other. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Now think with me here in this. So we find Father, word of association. Now into thy hands, the word of affection. Words of affection. And think with me, into thy hands, words of affection. Not the words of an atheist. Words of affection. Voltaire, how many of you ever heard that name? The French well-known atheist who said in 100 years from now, Christianity will be dead. 100 years later, Voltaire was dead. And the house, which was his huge home, was turned over to the British Bible Society to produce Bibles. God always has the last words. God always... I think God has a little sense of humor at times as I think about the truth of these things. But he says, into thy hands. Now, an atheist would not have anything to do with into the hands of God. He doesn't believe in God. Those words ought to be dear to our heart. One day, everything we're in the. Are you in the hands of God? It's wonderful to be in the hands of God tonight. Whew. Why are we in the hands of God? Because He was in the hands of God, and He put us in the hands of God. Wow. What a tremendous blessing. So we see, Father. Words of astonishment, words of Father, words of astonishment. He loved those, love us. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Words of association, I'll get it. Then into thy hand, words of affection, into thy hands. Then he says here, notice here again, into thy hands, I, a word of authority. Word of authority. Now, Jesus was about ready to die. Rome could not kill him. Only he could do it to himself. He had the authority to determine how long he would live and when he would die. So I see here, not only do I see here association and affection, but authority here. He controlled the destiny of his life because he was and is God. Only God can do that. Then he said, commend my spirit. That's words of accomplishment. Words of accomplishment. And go over to Psalm 31. And look with me in there, Psalm 31 and verse 5. This is where he's quoting. He's look at this verse. Into thy hand, that's what our Lord said, I commit my spirit. But notice what he did not say. Notice there, if you go back to verse 46 of chapter 9, Luke 24, or 23, he says, into thy hand I commend my spirit. But he said nothing about what else is in verse 5 of chapter 31 of Psalm. Why? Because let's read verse 5 of Psalm 31 again. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Amen. Thou hast redeemed me. That's that. He couldn't quote that. You know why? Jesus didn't need to be redeemed. He's the only human being that ever lived who didn't need to be redeemed. Because he is God. So he removed that. And he also, in this verse here, he's in the hand, oh, I commit my spirit. That would be, oh Lord, God of truth. But he says, Father. Didn't call him God here, calls him Father. Again, I've spent so much time on that. And I'm so glad tonight, as we completed these seven sayings and think about them tonight, let me just give those seven to you real quick again. And first one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord pardoned them. He pardons you and I. The second one, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When you die, that's it. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. And it can be said, it is finished for you. Hallelujah. Your life has been completed. And then, woman, behold thy son. To John, behold thy mother. I thought about, you know, the compassion Jesus had for human. Let's be a church of compassion for one another. Let's lay aside all differences and be a compassionate church. The fourth one, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Certainly, those are words there. He took on your punishment and mine. Then he said, it is finished. Everything is completed. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I turn myself over to you. I'm going back to heaven. Now, by the way, the work of Jesus is not done. Right now, he's at the right hand of God. What? Making intercessions for us. One day, he's going to get up off that throne. He's going to burst through the clouds. He's going to take us to heaven to be with him. It's called the rapture. See, the first coming is complete when he said it is finished. But that's not all that's going to be done. I say tonight, even so, come Lord Jesus.